We're in a new series starting out this week. It's going to be short, but really to the point. We're going to have 3 weeks on this, and we're calling it Hello, Holy Spirit.
I'll explain a little bit more of what that means and why that name's there. I actually stole it from Diane Lehman on a book that she had, and so I didn't ask for permission. So, if Diane, if you're listening to this, do not sue me. So, it's something that I think is really a good way of putting it, because what it does, it shows more of the personal side of the Holy Spirit and this whole thing of the house of how He dwells with us. What I'd say is that, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it represent God, and even though the Trinity has some mystery to it, if you read Scripture, it really helps you understand that God is one, as we've talked about last week, but He also is in three persons. An example of that would be like when we look at Matthew, where Jesus is on the earth, and He says that He was baptized by John the Baptist. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son, to whom I love, and to Him, and with Him I'm well pleased." And you think about that, all three parts of God are here. It starts out in the spot that we have Jesus, who's the Son of God. As He comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ comes on Him, and then God the Father speaks out of heaven. And it's mysterious, but all those places play a role in understanding how we grasp who God is. And then when Jesus leaves the earth, He tells us, "Therefore, make disciples of all nations, not baptizing just in the name of Jesus, but baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so when we understand this place of God being those in three persons, we understand, we see verses that it switches back and forth, that it's speaking of the Spirit, it's speaking of the Father, it's speaking of the Son. It talks about, if Jesus says, "If you've seen the Father, you've seen Me, and if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." It says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. And so the Holy Spirit is talked about throughout Scripture. There's many more names that God uses as far as like giving descriptions more of the particular aspect of what the Holy Spirit does through its names: the Spirit of God, the breath of the Almighty, the comfort of the Spirit of truth, the power of the highest, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of holiness, Spirit of adoption. It goes on. You know, those are all words that help you get a grasp. But the Holy Spirit's a very important thing to understand. And what we're going to be talking about today and throughout this series is we're going to talk about Hello, Holy Spirit. What we mean by that is we're saying He's a person who we can actually relate to. That's kind of a cutesy name, I know, but it kind of allows you to realize He's accessible, and that He's somebody who wants to dwell within us. He wants to make His home within us, and we'll talk about that a lot more. And today we're going to talk about this first part. We have 3 weeks of this. We're going to be talking about receiving and welcoming the Holy Spirit today. Now, receiving and welcoming the Holy Spirit, it's in Corinthians it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." Hebrews it says, "But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and to the hope that in which we glory, so that, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear the voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness," referring back to the time in the wilderness of Moses and the Israelites. Now, I think these verses give you some great insight of a couple things, is that we are God's temple. Now, in other words, He no longer has brick and mortar places in the temple. Now we are His temple. Now take that in. Now we hear that, but take that in. You want to be His temple of the Holy Spirit. We actually are His house that He wants to dwell in. We hear those kind of things, but oftentimes we have a hard time taking them in. In Acts 7, Stephen, who is filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, And they're getting ready to stone him, so he has chance, just a little bit of chance before he dies to get a sermon in. and he begins speaking to these people who are just angry and grinding their teeth, and he says, "However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my home, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all these things?" You understand what he's saying? He's saying, I'm looking for a place to dwell. And I could choose the heavens, I could choose the earth, I'm large. But what he wants to do is he wants to dwell in his people. And these, he's speaking, he says, "But you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You will always resist the Holy Spirit." In Hebrews, and so we see the same verse I talked about before as far as he were his house. Now, think about this. We're his temple. We're his house. And what he's saying is, but there's this problem. We harden our heart. When we harden our heart, we close him out of the house. We do not let him have access to the house. So my question is we're to open our hearts wide to the Holy Spirit. And that means we're supposed to allow God's Spirit to come in fully into our heart. Now, you don't have to answer this out loud, but honestly, what do you feel about the Holy Spirit? All right? What do you think about when you think about the Holy Spirit wanting to come into you and make his home? What do you think about you being a temple in which he dwells? How does that make you feel? Imagine this. Imagine if you went home today and there was this person out front of your house you trust by your front door, and they informed you that, you know, I have someone who wants to move into your house. Really? Yeah. How long? You know, permanently. Oh, well, what part of my house? Well, you can just let him into whatever part you want, but I know this person, and he'll want to be in all the parts of it. He's gonna want to be in all the different rooms, and he's gonna want to be in the bedroom and the rec room and the kitchen and basement. He loves closets, the things that are in the closets. You say, really? Well, this sounds like, so you're just kind of amused by this, and you think, he says, let me just be honest with you. Why does he want to do this? He loves your house. He loves your house. He loves the way it's designed. He loves its uniqueness. He wants this to be his house. Okay, but has he seen my house? I mean, you're just going along with it. Has he seen my house? I mean, I got things rotten in my house. I had some damage from a couple storms, and it's still damaged. You know, I have junk laying everywhere. I got trash that he doesn't want. Oh no, I got closets that I don't want him to look into. And he goes, no, yeah, this is a different kind of person. The messier it is, the more he loves it, and the more it's rotting, the more that's where he likes to go. He loves that part the best. He can go and restore this house and bring order and bring beauty to places you can't even imagine. Now, of course, you'd think you're crazy, and but to parallel that, that's really, we have to understand that we are his house, and he wants to access our hearts, and he wants to go to all the rooms of our heart, not just part of it. He wants to go to all of it. And he's the most attracted to the very rooms we're trying to keep the doors closed on, because he loves to go into those rooms and help those rooms turn back to the beauty that they should have been, right? You know, so what do you feel about that? God coming into the depths of your heart, the core of who you are, does it bring joy and excitement? Does it bring dread or fear? You know, I think that, you know, how do you feel about the Holy Spirit? You know, my response is very different now than it used to be, even as a follower of Jesus. Initially, I was raised in a church, and I don't know if this was intentional or not intentional, but I heard very little about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm telling you, I can't remember any kind of discussion like, really love the Holy Spirit or open yourself. I never heard any of that. I did know the Holy Spirit as a small child convicted you, which I didn't really know what that meant, but it didn't sound good to me, right? That's all I knew. That's what he did. He convicted people, right? And I guess it was good. And so in my mind, he does convict, but that it was this limited aspect of this is what the Holy Spirit is. And I found myself in places I really never really understood much about the Holy Spirit at all, you know? And so I found myself really, and not only that, is I actually, they were a little bit suspicious of the Holy Spirit. You know, like, well, you got to watch the Holy Spirit, you know? And it was a strange thing. They're like, really? I thought he was God. Yeah, but you got to watch him. Jesus, he's good. Father, he's amazing, solid wisdom. That Holy Spirit's a little flaky, and he kind of does some things that are just not very good. And so you have to watch that. And I don't know if they meant to teach that or if that's what I took in, but that's what I took in. And nearly, I would say in my mind, I love Jesus, and I embrace Jesus, and, you know, but when around the Holy Spirit, I felt like I had to be a little, you know, kind of keep my guard up, right? And I remember this whole thing of understanding, I threw it through a pamphlet, this idea of God being, making our heart his home, and I remember thinking, wow, that's wild that he'd want to come into that. And as I think about it, if you could really put that analogy into how I viewed the Holy Spirit, it would be like this. At a young age, I welcomed the Holy Spirit because I became a Christian. I said, I want you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, now the Spirit of Christ is in me. It's like, okay. And they didn't tell me what to do with him. I just like left him in the lobby. You know, I just left him in the entryway, you know. And I was waiting for heaven because he needs to stay with me. And so I look in there, glad you're still here, you know. But my rest of my world as time went, the doors got shut. And I stayed in another world out here. And I'd pass him, somebody go out the back door. But I'd pass him sometimes in the lobby and say, you still here? Yeah, okay. So I really didn't know what to do with him. I didn't know what to do with him. And so I found myself, that really was an imagery of my house, my heart. I would have God in there. And then I got to a spot that it became so messed up. All my rooms got so dark and ugly and things I was doing. I was separated from him. My closets got full of lots of stuff. And, you know, and yet over time, eventually, God called me back to himself. And when I came to him, I said, okay, you have access, you know, open the doors. I just opened the doors. But even then, I really kind of felt like he was a guest in a lot of ways. I still was glad he had access. He talked me into it, but it still, I didn't really know how to make God at home within me. I didn't know what that meant, right? I didn't know how the Holy Spirit wanted to dwell within me and how that looked. And I remember as I thought about that is I realized that this is an issue of the Holy Spirit. It's like I didn't understand that the Spirit of God wanted to invade my entire house. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't understand that God loved being there. I didn't understand that he wanted to be there. And that's what he did. And so about this time, I'm in a spot where what's happening in my life is that I have all this truth about God and Father. And I actually know he loves me, and I know he's real, and I know he's with me. So I had that pretty solid, but my relationship got to a place in which that I remember I couldn't. Here I was in leadership and things like that, and I had a time I stopped saying I have a personal relationship with God because I felt hypocritical about saying it. I had a good relationship with God. It was a secure relationship with God, but it wasn't very personal. And I remember reading and thinking about God and thinking about all the things of God moving in me, and I believed and it would teach on those things, but my experience was not that. And their gap kept getting larger and larger. And really what took place is over time I got to a place that I started realizing in the middle of that I had these friends of mine who were charismatic and Pentecostal, which I didn't trust those guys at all, you know. And they were the people who messed up and actually started getting involved with the Holy Spirit because, you know, you can't trust the Holy Spirit like you can the Father and the Son. I just didn't know what to do with them. They were passionate, they loved God, and they all wanted me to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I got the Holy Spirit. And I theologically looked at it, and I got the Holy Spirit. And so I argued with them quite a bit. Like, this is not, this, you say there has to be the second thing that happened. That's not right. Look at this. And I'd get the books out, and I'd argue, and we'd go back and forth. We have debates, you know, as they're loving God and worshiping. Oh, yes, I have the Holy Spirit, you know. And I did, because I could feel him in me, but I have to realize in the middle of all this, I would got to such a crazy point that I realized I'm asking the wrong question. The question is, am I resisting the Holy Spirit? Am I open to the Holy Spirit? Do I want the Holy Spirit? Do I love the Holy Spirit? Am I yielding my life? No, I'm not. Right? And that took me on a journey in which that, and unlike them, which I'd say that, you know, I just realized I spelled the Holy Spirit, you know, with a capital H, just a small H, and kind of it was an add-on. And I realized biblically that's horrible to do that. And so I was just challenged biblically. I was challenged by, and so I realized I have to invite the Holy Spirit in. And my experience was not quite like some of their experiences, but there's a lot that was the same. I had lots of my friends who had this baptism of the Holy Spirit that literally was one of the most meaningful things of their life in which they experienced the Holy Spirit come on them. They often spoke in tongues. They began to experience kind of just the power of God. All the doors seemed to fly open, at least the way they described it, right? Mine was not that. I learned how to yield myself and welcome the Holy Spirit by opening a few closets and see what happened, you know? Like, okay, here we go. You went in the rec room? Here we go. Whoo! You know, and it's like, come in, man, and help me understand what's going on, and his power and his presence come. And I started thinking, he's good. He's really good. And so I just started opening doors, right? And as they did, I would experience this power and even weird stuff. But so it didn't matter if it was God. It felt so good to inspire, to have the Holy Spirit come in. And so at that spot, I started realizing, now I can say, you know, it's personal. There's nothing more personal. There's nothing I love more than the presence of God settling my heart. There's nothing I love more than seeing the power of God come through people to other people. There's nothing I love more than experiencing him in this personal way. Even when he goes into places that I'm scared, he goes in and does these things. I want the Holy Spirit, right? And so, how do you feel about the Holy Spirit? You know, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is not kind of an add-on. He's so central to everything. And I would encourage you just to maybe just get in your Bible, electronic Bible, just search Holy Spirit and just read how many things are in the New Testament and the Holy Spirit. And just, you're just like, oh my goodness. You understand the Holy Spirit is not an add-on. I mean, he kind of is a big deal. He was the guy who came on and overshadowed Mary and Jesus was born from a virgin. That's important, you know. He was the one who came into the mother's womb of Elizabeth and empowered John the Baptist. And he was the one that Jesus talked about all the time, coming to reveal himself and talking about Jesus' whole lead-up was saying, don't worry, when I leave, it's going to get better because I'm going to actually bring my Spirit and you will like it better. And they go, no, how could I like it better? No, you'll like it better. It's way better than having just me here. And you can imagine them thinking, no, it isn't. That's not going to work. But it did. And so he prepares him. And then when he gets ready to go, you know, I mean, even all the way through, we see him at preparing them, saying, don't worry. And by the way, when you go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But don't do it. Don't go out until what? Until you wait and the Holy Spirit empowers you, comes upon you. And so we see this all the way through. And then when we see it taking place, we see these powerful things taking place. And so we have Peter, and we have to realize the Holy Spirit changed everything. It's the heart of the power of everything that we do here, the thing that brought you to Jesus. It teaches us and trains us. It's not this add-on. And so as we look at that, I think in Acts, you know, this passage I love because the Holy Spirit comes in this power. And they're just filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's all these people who didn't even get along before are all connecting and worshiping God. And everybody begins coming up and there's tongues of fire and languages that they can only understand that they shouldn't be able to because they're hearing their own language from people who don't speak it. And all these amazing things happening. And this crowd gathers And Peter, who's a chicken right before this, who didn't, it was all confused, now is like standing up because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he begins speaking to this group of people boldly, and he tells them about who Jesus is and begins speaking. And the Spirit of God and the presence of God is there, and it convicts them. It says, they were cut to their heart, and it said, Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did it, right? And they experienced the Holy Spirit, and they began that whole day. It just continued on. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to know Jesus in that moment. The power of God came. They had never experienced anything like that before that, even with Jesus. Something new was different. I mean, something completely different is happening here. And their lives, you see the church, they're not like, where's Jesus? We want him back. No, they're on a roll. They have more intimacy with Jesus than they ever had before. They have more power coming through them. They have more clarity of who the kingdom is. They had better sight. Because why? Because he sent the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at that, what I love is what the result is. When these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, it just changed everything. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking the bread, and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in each other's in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the fellowship of the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And so you look at that and you think, wow, it's really good to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Generosity and freedom and connection to one another and power of the Holy Spirit and more of God's power coming through us. And so as we look at that, what we have to realize is that as we think about those things, what we have to realize is that it's central in everything that takes place. And to live a life God has for us, we must love and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not optional. If you want to do well, you have to be Trinitarian. you need to embrace all of God, and that includes the Holy Spirit. And it says in Ephesians, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, how do you understand what the Lord's will is? Getting drunk doesn't help. Do not get drunk with wine. It's hard to understand the Lord's will there. That's debauchery. But instead, here's how you learn the Lord's will, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And just be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Romans, it says, may the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we see in Ephesians, the only way that we can even stand against our flesh, the only way we have any power over our sin and our sinful nature is only by, what? Following the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, and the result will be you'll have the fruit, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, simple like this. If you want transformation, I mean not management of sin, if you want transformation, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. You have to welcome the Holy Spirit to all areas of your life, all the rooms of your heart. Right? You need to let him dwell there. You cannot bring health. You cannot bring restoration. You cannot bring power over sin with anything that's separated from the Holy Spirit. You have to open the door to the closet. You have to allow him into all his places. And here's what the wild thing is. He loves it. He loves your house. And he loves the messiest places. He loves the most damaged places. He loves to go to those places. And that's where we need him. But often we find ourselves in places in which that we hide those things. We keep the doors closed. We feel like we got to clean those areas up. And that's just like, no, you can't. You cannot clean those areas up. You have no power to help it. You have no power to bring restoration. You have to allow my Holy Spirit in. So if you want transformation, You know, if you want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to experience intimacy and a deep personal relationship with God, it will come by you yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. If you want to be used in ways that are way beyond your capacity and actually affect people's life and for the good for eternity, it comes from by being allowing the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. Now, here's the thing, though, is what is it about this resistance to the Holy Spirit? You notice that of all the Trinity, the resistance to the Holy Spirit is one that's talked about. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Because there's an aspect of this Holy Spirit that he's like we talked about. He wants to come into every area. He's the Spirit of God that goes into places of our heart. And so we find ourselves in places of thinking, no, I don't want that to happen because we want to control what's taking place. You know, and I think there's reasons that you have a tendency of, like, even though I've experienced the Holy Spirit, I've experienced this power, I long for this Holy Spirit, there's still a part of me that if I stay, I can start getting to this place, I start, you know, shutting off doors and an area starts getting separated from it. Even now. And any wants to go into it, I think, I don't know if I'm going to bring that one up, you know. Why is that? Why would I resist? The Holy Spirit is the only one who can help me in these areas. Why would I resist him? And of course, we say, well, there's our flesh and there's our pride. But let me get kind of just some things I think can be helpful. What is it that often can cause us to not open ourselves wide to the Holy Spirit? Like for me, it was really, I had a bad biblical understanding of what the Holy Spirit was, you know? And what really helped me a lot is to realize that many people do things in the name of the Holy Spirit that have good things in them, but they're a mixed bag. So some of my Pentecostal friends, they gave me an image of the Holy Spirit that was not biblical. Some of it was, some of it wasn't. And sometimes we have experiences that are that way. Oftentimes, we get mixed up. We have people who maybe are charismatic, and they see the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit as the same thing as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole different thing. Gifts are given freely. Fruit is something that God works within us, you know? And so for me, all those kind of things, I just didn't have a good biblical understanding of who the Holy Spirit was. I had him as much lower in the Trinity. I didn't see him as what he should have been. And so some of it was just reading the Bible and saying, who is the Holy Spirit and do I want him? Not what I've experienced. Do I want this? And that's a big thing. I'd say encourage you to realize, you know, especially if you had a background that puts that kind of question like, oh, watch out for the Holy Spirit. You've probably had that in you to such a degree that it's very hard for you to open up because you've been trained that he's not trustworthy and he's not good. And you have particular images. I mean, quite honestly, if you use the Corinthian church as an example of how you operate in the Holy Spirit, it's like, oh, good luck on trying to be encouraged with that because it had lots of people involved, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit's issue, right? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in the name of Jesus that I don't pay attention to either, right? But I'm saying is he wants you to get a right view of it theologically. And I think another thing is that sometimes we don't really yield ourselves fully to the Holy Spirit because we're not really believing that he really wants in us. This is the way we always feel like, yeah, so and so, yeah, me, no. I got a lot of rot. I got some closets that I've never even given anybody the keys to. And I have these things that I just know, you know, I just don't think he wants to dwell here. It's this misunderstanding that God is a God who's wanting us to shape things up so he can come live with us versus saying, I want to come into places you can't shape up or help and so you can have a different life. I want access because I want to bring restoration. I want to bring power. I want to bring my love. I want to bring my perspective, my transformation. And then kind of going along with that is that we fear his response to our sin, right? That's what it gets down to. It's like it may be the restoration, but it may be the spot of thinking there's this area that I just couldn't possibly allow God to see. You know, I'm going to have to. And so this idea in our mind that if we close it in the closet, it will get better, as if he can't see what's in the closet, right? As if he doesn't already know our hearts. But what he's saying is, would you let me into what I already see? I'm still in the house. I haven't left you, and I see what's in the closet. I'm waiting for you to just give me access to the closet. It doesn't mean you're not going to surprise God by your life. It's like, oh my goodness, David, you're worse than I thought. Why did you let me see that closet? I had such a good impression of you before, but now, oh my goodness gracious, this is worse than I thought. I'm going to have to get another God in here to take care of this. I don't know what to do. That's how we think sometimes. He sees it. He already knows exactly what's in my closet. It's not like he's sitting there thinking, I wonder what's in the closet. He's saying, all he's saying is, would you just let me be real? Would you come in? Let me come into the closet? Would you let me just actually begin to be into your sexuality? And would you start letting me be into your recreation? Would you just allow me to come in? And I can do some things that you can be, you'd be amazed by, right? And I think another thing, the reason that many times we resist the Holy Spirit is we have religious systems. And if you understand he's speaking, when he's talking with, the guy who got stoned, Stephen, here we go. All right, so Stephen, senior moment. Stephen, as he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he has these religious leaders. And they're literally grinding their teeth. And they're just resisting what's happening here. He hates it. They hate it. And why would they do that? It's because they had a religious system. And when the Holy Spirit, you allow him in, it breaks down religious systems, because religious systems are designed in a way that you can actually think that you're going to be okay with God by your own self-righteousness, right? So he religious systems, he just like, I got it going well, you know, no one really knows, I've been managing this closet for a long time, God. You know, so we have these religious systems. He goes, no, this is not what this is about. This is not about me coming in and getting on you. This is about me going into places you've been struggling all your life, you've never been able to have success, and I just want to help you, right? I want to be in a relationship with you. I really want to dwell with you, you know? And then finally is that, you know, we often don't fully welcome the Holy Spirit until we run out of options. Now, I'm not saying everybody's that way, but I was that way. We run out to the end of ourselves. Why I got open to the Holy Spirit, right? I was, and I always said, I love the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying I didn't hate the Holy Spirit. I just didn't like parts of him, you know? So I saw the Holy Spirit working in my life, all the things, but I didn't want to completely give him access and let him come into all areas of my life. I knew that was a different thing. And so for me, what really began causing me to open my heart wide to the Holy Spirit is really that I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do this Christian thing, because I was the guy leading this pack. This is who God is. This is what God can do. He's got his power. This is my personal relationship with God. And I'm thinking, yeah. Not because I didn't believe it. It's that I didn't have any power. I had people in my life that I've been pastoring and pushing into and giving to Bible studies and all these things, and they were stuck. And I had no power to help them. And I had things in my life I couldn't get past. And I'd done everything I could to try to discipline myself and knew all the Bible verses, and I couldn't get free of things in my life. And after a while, you think, this ain't working, you know? And so for me, I remember these times in which God would have these situations with people, and I had to make a choice. Do I yield myself to the Holy Spirit and let him come, or do I try to do this on my own? Or when I had things in my life, do I yield my whole self to the Holy Spirit and open these rooms and closets up, or do I try to figure this out on my own? And after a while, I just got so tired, I yielded. And to my surprise, it took all the weights off of me. It didn't put them on me. It took away the shame. It took away the condemnation. It filled me in ways I've never experienced before. And I thought, oh my goodness. Why would I resist this? But often we do. So I just want to challenge you to just say, God gets where you're at. And he wants to be in more than the foyer. You know, he wants to go into all the areas of your life. And it's a spot that you got to open yourself wide. and not, you got to become fully Trinitarian. You know, you can't be like, yeah, but that one area, that whole, you have to embrace all of God. And Holy Spirit does some strange things sometimes. He does. I've had him do some strange things to me. And they're amazingly beautiful and good. Every time the Holy Spirit's weird, I like it. Afterwards. All right? Not because he's weird, it's just that he's not me. And he does things in a way that gets to my heart. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing ever to let God come and be who he is and bust down my religious systems and bust down my management of my sin and access points of my life and come into me and let God come out of me and seeing life change. There's just nothing like it, you know? So here's my challenge. It's really, is just read Acts. I only put you 8 chapters because I figured there's a point that I'm not going to hold you. So 8 chapters. You can read all of Acts, but at least go for 8 chapters, and you can scan through them. But look for the word Holy Spirit. Every time you see the word Holy Spirit, say, what's the story here, and what's he doing as a person, okay? And then say, I want to learn who you are by these stories, because this is actively showing how the Holy Spirit operates. It's like stories of Jesus. Acts is the stories of the Holy Spirit to help you understand him better. And then welcome and invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. I mean, that's just ask him to. Fill me, baptize me, Holy Spirit. Just, I open my whole self up to you. If you've never done that, invite him to completely fill you. And say, I yield myself to you. Access any room you want. I may have my stubbornness, but break through it. I welcome you. And then open the doors of your heart so they've closed and he's locked. Sometimes it's you're not sure how to do it, but he's going to, even right now, some of you already know the door it is. I mean, you're so clear on it, it happened right away. You knew exactly what the door is. You could feel that, right? That's your starting point. Start with that door. Well, there's a lot of other ones. That's fine. Start with that door. And you say, okay, I'm going to crack it. I don't know if I can get all the way open, but I'm going to crack it. I'm going to say, God, I'm telling you, I want you in here. I don't know how that's going to work, but I give you permission to get in this place and help me, and yield yourself to him. He wants to take off the load. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring help. All right? Would you stand?